convince her to go beneath, it'd be a hell of a lot easier. Even if once he got her down there, she'd never get out again.
You'd rather be here?
Flynn asked the dragon.
Fighting in her pit than with us?
You threw me on guard duty, Ari spat, at last snapping her attention from the TV to Flynn. Therian didn't envy the male as she fixed her burning gaze on him.
Is that any better than fighting in the pit?
Yeah, a fuck ton better.
You sound like someone who's grown accustomed to his life being dull as dust, Ari said, turning back to the TV.
You've been trapped inside a ring for the gods know how long, Flynn exploded. What the hell do you know about anything?
Molten scales flowed under her skin, then vanished. Her face remained placid. Therian wished he had some popcorn, but he caught the Viper Queen's narrowed eyes on him. She said coolly,
I remember you, dead sister, rogue shifter.
Therian suppressed the flicker of ire at the casual reference to Lessia, and threw the snake shifter his most charming smile.
That's me.
And the River Queen's captain of intelligence.
The one and only, he winked. Care to have a word?
Who am I to deny the wishes of the River Queen's daughter's beloved?
Therian tensed, and her purple lips curled, the razor-sharp bob swaying as she rose.
Don't roast the failing,
she said to Ariadne, then curled a finger at Therian.
This way.
She led him through a narrow hall lined with doors. He could see ahead that the corridor opened into another chamber. All he could make out of it was more carpets and couches as they approached.
Well, Mare,
Therian huffed a laugh.
A few questions.
Sure.
She tapped ash from her cigarette into a glass ashtray atop the coffee table. He opened his mouth, but they'd reached the room at the other end of the hall. It was a near twin to the other, only its windows overlooked the fighting pit. But sitting on one of the couches, with a pile of white powder that seemed a hell of a lot like Lightseeker on a small brass scale on the table before her.
Let me guess,
Therian drawled at the harpy, who lifted her head from where a fey male weighed out the drugs.
It's not yours, it's for a friend.
The harpy's dark eyes narrowed with warning as she eased to her feet.
Here to narc on me, fish.
Therian smiled slowly.
Just paying a friendly visit.
She turned her menacing stare to the Viper Queen, who slid her hands into pockets and leaned against the far wall.
Did you sell me out?
This pretty hunk of meat waltzed in, wanted a word. He knows the rules.
Therian did. This was the Viper Queen's space. Her word was law. He had as little authority over her as he did the Asteri. And if he pulled anything, she had as much authority as the Asteri to end him, likely by throwing him into that fighting pit and seeing how many of her fighters it took to kill him. Therian gestured to the doorway in a mockery of a bow.
I won't trouble you.
The harpy glanced at the male, who now scooped her lightseeker into a black velvet bag lined with plastic.
VIP service, huh?
Therian said to the Viper Queen, whose lips curved again.
Only the best for my most valued clients,
she said, still leaning against the wall. The harpy snatched the bag from the fey male, her black wings rustling.
Keep your mouth shut, Mare, or you'll wind up in pieces like your sister.
He let out a low growl.
Keep talking, hag, and I'll show you what I did to the male who killed her.
The harpy chuckled, tucking her drugs into the pocket of her jacket, and walked out, wings a black cloud behind her.
Buying or selling?
The Viper Queen asked him quietly, as the fey male packed up his drugs and scale and bustled out. Therian turned to her, willing the rage riding his temper to ease off.
You know that psychopath made blood eagles out of two rebels, don't you?
Why do you think I invited her to be a client? Someone who does that kind of shit needs to take the edge off.
Or keep it on, I suppose.
Therian shook off his disgust. She talked to you about what those rebels were doing in this city?
Are you asking me to play spy, Captain?
I'm asking whether you've heard anything about Ophion, or a commander named Pippa Spetsos. He needed to know if and when Pippa and her Lightfall unit would make a move, even without that mech suit prototype. If he could save innocent lives in this city, he would.
Of course I have. Everyone's heard of Ophion.
Therian ground his teeth. You know what they're up to? She took a long drag from her cigarette.
Information isn't free.
How much?
The dragon's good for business.
Her snake eyes didn't move from his.
Fight last night brought in a lot of money. I worked out a deal with her. She'll get a portion of profits from her wins, and it can go toward buying her freedom.
You don't own her. No matter that he wanted to hand her over to his queen like, fuck, like a slave.
No, I don't. That's why I'll need you to spin whatever bullshit your friends and their lawyer gave to the astronomer. Something about royal commandeering.
The Viper Queen admired her immaculate nails.
Tell everyone her fighting here is a matter of imperial security.
No one will believe that. And fuck, he needed that dragon. He needed her as an exit strategy out of this Emile situation, and any fallout for leaving the Queen's daughter.
People believe anything when presented correctly.
Therian sighed at the mirrored ceiling. The dragon had at least agreed to be here, to fight toward her freedom, but... The Viper Queen said, as if somehow reading or guessing his thoughts,
even in that humanoid form, she can turn you into ashes if you try to bring her to the Blue Court.
Therian glowered, but said nothing. She went on.
You and your little gaggle of friends have been awfully active lately. I might have let Quinlan talk me into a bargain for the kid, but I have no plans to let this dragon slip out of my hands.
A sharp smile.
You fools. Should have kept a tighter leash on her.
Therian gave her a sharp smile of his own. It's not my call whether she can stay here or not.
Get your royal friends and their legal team to spin their bullshit and we'll be good, Mare.
Fuck. He was really going to walk out of here empty-handed, wasn't he? His mind raced as he tried to think up some other prize to bring back to his queen, something to save his hide. He'd figure it out later, when he wasn't in front of a notoriously lethal Vanir. He sighed and said, If the dragon agrees, then whatever. We'll spin our bullshit.
She already has.
Another sly smile. So, tell me what Spetsos is up to. If he could appear competent in his job as captain of intelligence, maybe the information about a rebel threat would keep his queen's wrath at bay. The Viper Queen pulled out her phone, checking the digital clock.
Call your friends and find out.
What? But the Viper Queen had already turned back to the hall, to the dragon and Flynn at its other end. Therian dialed Hypaxia, Hunt, then Bryce, Ethan, Rune. No one answered. He didn't dare put it into a message, but he dialed Hunt again. Pick the fuck up, he murmured. Pick the fuck up. For a moment, he flashed back to another day, when he'd tried and tried to call his sister only to get her audio mail. So he'd called his parents, asking if they'd spoken to her, if they knew where she was. Therian reached Flynn, who was sitting on the couch, engaging in a silent staring contest with Ariadne. He couldn't keep the edge from his voice as he said, Call Rune. See if he'll pick up for you. What's wrong? Flynn was instantly on his feet.
Not sure,
Therian said, heading for the door. He swallowed down those awful memories and his rising dread.
Any idea where they were today?
The Viper Queen said behind them, sinking onto the couch again.
Good luck.
Therian and Flynn paused at the doorway. The Fey Lord pointed to the dragon.
We're not done here.
Ariadne only watched the TV again, ignoring him. Flynn snarled.
I'm coming back for you.
Therian tucked away the knowledge of what he'd done, what he'd bargained for this measly tip-off about Ophion and Spetsos. He'd tell Flynn later. Ariadne's stare turned to Flynn as the vault door swung open again. Black turned to red.
Spare your high-handedness for someone who wants it, Lordling.
Therian stepped into the hall, phone again at his ear.
Bryce didn't answer,
but Flynn looked back at the dragon lounging in the Viper Queen's nest.
We'll see about that, sweetheart,
the Fey Lord growled, and followed Therian out. Bryce had been to Urd's Temple in Moonwood all of one time since moving to Crescent City years ago. She and Juniper had drunkenly taken a cab over here one night during college to make an offering to the goddess of fate to make sure their destinies were epic. Literally, that was what she'd said.
Benevolent and far-seeing Urd, please make our destinies as epic as possible.
Well, she'd gotten it, Bryce thought, as she strode up the steps of the gray marble temple. So had June, though. Sorrow and guilt and longing swarmed her at the thought of her friend. The quiet street was empty of cars, like the Underking had cleared everything out. Or maybe that was due to the other menacing presence they'd dodged near the intersection of Central and Laurel on their walk over here from the training center. Pollux and Mordok, two monsters abroad in the city, a unit of the Hind's Dreadwolves trailing behind them, searching for something. Or someone. Hunt made sure no one was on the street behind the temple as Bryce, Rune, and Hypaxia entered. The Underking had been very specific. Only those four people were permitted to come. Ethan and Cormac hadn't been happy to stay behind. Beyond the temple's courtyard, not a priestess in sight, the open doors to the inner sanctum beckoned, shadows and smoke within. Bryce checked that the rifle across her back was in place, the handgun ready at her hip. Rune, on her left, carried the star sword. She'd argued that it was impolite to arrive at a meeting bearing a weapon designed to kill Reapers, but the others overruled her. Rune would stay within arm's reach at all times, in case she needed to draw the blade. Lightning crackled around Hunt as they stepped into the gloom. Not trusting how long it could last, or whether she could even contain it within herself, she hadn't asked him to transfer a charge to her. If it was needed, he could power her up in seconds. A pyre smoked atop a black stone altar in the center of the temple. A stone throne on a dais loomed at the rear of the space. No statues ever adorned Urd's temple. No depiction of the goddess had ever been made. Fate took too many forms to capture in one figure. But someone was sitting on the throne.
Punctual,
the Underking intoned, his bony fingers clicking on the stone arm of the throne.
I appreciate that.
You desecrate that throne, Rune warned. Get your rotting carcass off it.
The Underking rose, black robes drifting on a phantom wind.
I thought the Fae bowed to Luna, but perhaps you remember the old beliefs from a time when Urd was not a goddess, but a force winding between worlds, when she was a vat of life, a mother to all, a secret language of the universe. The Fae worshipped her then.
Bryce feigned yawning, earning an alarmed look from Rune, who'd blanched at the sight of the Underking descending from the dais. Hunt, at least, didn't seem surprised. He'd grown accustomed to her antics, she supposed. Hypaxia monitored every movement from the Underking, wind stirring her hair. She had a score to settle after last night, it seemed.
So,
Hunt drawled,
here to finish our business.
The Underking drifted to the black altar, his horrific face contorting with pleasure as he breathed in the smoldering bones atop it.
I wished to inform you that the Reapers you so hatefully accused me of sending after you were in fact not Apollyons at all. I've discovered that they hailed from the Eternal City.
Bryce stiffened. Reapers can cross oceans?
Reapers once crossed worlds. I don't see how some water might deter them.
Why come here to attack us? Hunt demanded.
I don't know.
And why tell us this at all? Bryce went on.
Because I do not appreciate my territory being infringed upon.
Bullshit, Rune said. Hypaxia trailed a few steps behind him. You told them the horrible truth about what happens after death, and yet you're willing to let them live now because you're pissed that someone stepped on your toes. His eyes, his dead, milky eyes fixed on Bryce.
You are officially a princess now, I hear. I suspect you will learn a great deal of equally unpleasant truths.
You're hedging, Rune growled, but Bryce asked, Did Jessica speak to you?
Who?
Jessica Roga, antiquity stealer. She has had a few death marks. She must know you. She knows everyone. The Underking's eyes glowed.
I do not know her by that name, but yes, I know of her.
His gaze drifted behind her, to Hypaxia at last.
You did well last night. Few could have worked their way through that labyrinth of spells. The House of Flame and Shadow will welcome you.
The breeze around Hypaxia rose to a chill wind, but she didn't deign to speak. Bryce made a note to herself to never get on the Queen's bad side. Hunt cut in.
You summoned us here to give us this convenient update about those Reapers, and now you want to play nice? I don't buy it.
The Underking only smiled, revealing those two large brown teeth. Bryce said, What does this sequence mean? She rattled off what had been on Sophie's arm. The Underking blinked.
I don't know.
He smiled again, wider.
But perhaps you should ask them.
He pointed behind her to the doorway, the world beyond, where Pippa Spetsos was marching into the courtyard of the temple, flanked by Lightfall soldiers.
Hunt's lightning flared. You tipped off Ophion, he snarled, even as he began calculating the fastest route out of the temple.
Rune, already at the inner sanctum doors, slammed them shut and barred them, locking them in with the Underking. Pippa's voice came through the doors.
Come play, Vaynir scum. We'll show you what happens when you turn on us.
Hypaxia's face paled.
You were working with the rebels.
Emphasis on were, Bryce muttered. Not that it made a difference right now. The Underking's figure began to fade away. An illusion, a projection. Hunt didn't bother to wonder how he had done it, had made the details seem so real.
War means death. Death means souls, and more second light. Who am I to turn away from a feeding trough? Commander Spetsos's first act upon arriving in Crescent City was to kneel before me. When she mentioned the enemies in their ranks, I took it upon myself to inform her of our altercation. We made a deal that is in both of our best interests.
The rebels would claim the kill, sparing the Underking any political fallout, but the creep would be satisfied that he'd played a role in slaughtering them and receive whatever souls would wind up in his realm. A whole lot of them, if Pippa was on the move. Bryce bristled, starlight shimmering from her.
And were you lying when you claimed you didn't send the Reapers after me and Rune those weeks ago?
I spoke true then, and I speak true now. I had no involvement in that. Why should I lie to you when I have already revealed so much?
Keep playing these games, and you'll make enemies of all of us, Rune warned the king. The Underking faded into shadows.
Death is the only victor in war.
Then he was gone. A bullet boomed against the metal door, then another. Pippa was still shouting her vitriol.
Any ideas?
Hunt asked. If the rebels had Gorsian bullets, this would get messy very quickly, and bring a huge crowd to witness the disaster. Bryce grabbed Hunt's hand, pushed it on her chest.
Level me up, Athalar.
Rune jerked his chin toward Hypaxia.
Take her with you.
The Witch Queen glared at the Fey Prince in reproach, but Bryce shook her head, keeping her hand over Hunt's. Her fingers tightened, the only sign of her nerves as she said,
I've never brought anyone along. I need all my focus right now.
Good. At least she was being smart about this. Hunt held his mate's gaze, letting her see his approval, his encouragement. He wouldn't waste time asking what she planned. Bryce was brilliant enough to have something figured out. So Hunt let his lightning flow, setting it zinging through his hand and into her chest. Her star began glowing beneath his fingers, as if in greedy anticipation. Another barrage of bullets clanged against the door. His lightning flowed into her like a river, and he could have sworn he heard a beautiful sort of music between their souls, as Bryce said,
We need reinforcements.
Rune contained his panic as his sister, charged up with a spike of Athalar's lightning, vanished into nothing. An impact rocked the metal doors into the inner sanctum. Why hadn't the ox been summoned yet? He reached for his phone. If he called in help, there would be questions about why they'd even been here in the first place. He'd already tried Cormac, but the mail had sent him to audio mail, and then messaged that he was talking to the king of Avalon. There was no way the prince would interrupt that call. They were trapped. He pivoted to Hypaxia, who was scanning the sanctum, searching for any hidden doors.
There has to be another exit, she said, running her hands over the walls. No temple ever just has one way in and out.
This one might,
Hunt grumbled. Bryce reappeared, and Rune marked every detail of his panting sister.
Easy peasy, Bryce declared,
but her face was sweaty, her eyes dim with exhaustion. What the hell had she gone off to do? Another bang on the doors, and the metal dented.
What the fuck was that?
Rune drew the star sword.
We need to get out of here, now, Bryce said, going to Hunt's side. We have time, but not much.
Then teleport us out.
She shook her head.
I don't know if I can do it.
You can,
Athalar said, absolutely certain.
You just teleported in and out. You've got this. Steady your breathing, block out the noise, and focus.
Her throat bobbed, but she reached for Athalar's hand. Hunt took a step away.
Hypaxia first, then Rune.
I might not have enough strength.
You do. Go.
Wariness and apprehension flooded his sister's face, but Bryce kissed Athalar's cheek, then grabbed the witch by the arm.
Hold on. I've never taken anyone with me like this, and it might be...
Her words cut off as they disappeared.
Thank the gods. Thank the gods Bryce had made it out again, with Hypaxia in tow.
Hunt held his breath. Rune said,
You should go next. You're her mate. You're her brother and heir to the Fey throne.
So is she. Hunt blinked at the prince, but then Bryce was back, panting.
Oh gods, that fucking sucked.
She retched and reached a hand for Rune.
Come on.
Rest,
her brother ordered, but the doors dented further inward. Another few blows and they'd be open, and if Bryce's plan didn't get them a little more time... Bryce grabbed Rune's arm, and before her brother could object, they vanished. Alone, Hunt monitored the door, rallied his lightning. He could charge her up again, but she was clearly exhausted. Would it do any good? The doors shuddered, and light cracked in as they peeled apart a few inches. Hunt ducked behind the altar, away from the spray of bullets that followed, blindly aiming for whoever was within.
There!
Pippa shouted, and guns trained on him. Where the fuck was Bryce? The doors blew open, throwing three Lightfall soldiers to the ground. Pollux stood between the doors, white wings luminescent with power, laughing to himself as he brought a clenched fist down upon the head of a female rebel sprawled before him. Bone and blood sprayed. Beyond him, in the courtyard, rebels fired at Mordok and the Dreadwolves, and out in the street, standing beneath a palm tree, away from the fray, Hunt could see the Hind, surveying the brawl. Bryce appeared and slid behind the altar. Her skin had gone ashen, her breaths uneven, sharp. She lifted a shaking hand toward him. She collapsed to her knees. She didn't need to say the rest. She was tapped out. Yet she'd come back to him, to fight her way out with him.
Another charge?
He asked, lightning twining down his arms as he lifted her to her feet.
I don't think my body can take it.
She leaned against him.
I feel like overcooked meat.
Hunt peered around the altar.
How'd you manage to buy us time?
The gates, Bryce panted. I had to teleport to a few of them before I found one that was pretty empty and unwatched. I used the dial pad to broadcast a report that Ophion was sacking Urd's temple, right in the middle of one of those stupid daily announcements. I figured a unit would be sent here, probably the biggest and baddest they had, which happened to also be the closest.
He remembered now. They'd avoided Pollux and Mordok, along with the Hind's Dreadwolves on the walk over here.
Your voice will be recognized.
I recorded the message, then played it through the gate using a voice warping app, she said with a grim smile. And I made sure to move fast enough that the cameras couldn't pick it up, as more than a blur. Don't worry. He could only gape at her, his clever, brilliant Bryce. Gods, he loved her.
Crouching behind the altar again as the fighting pressed into the temple, Hunt breathed.
We have to find some way to get through those doors unseen.
If you can give me a minute.
She brushed a shaking hand to her chest, the scar there. But Hunt knew. Only time would allow her to gain back her strength, and it would sure as fuck take longer than they had to spare. Hunt banked his lightning, fearful Pollux would spy it. The hammer drew closer, Mordok a menacing shadow behind him. Where they walked, rebels died. Hunt couldn't get a visual on Pippa. Bryce panted, and Hunt scented her blood before he looked. Her nose was bleeding.
What the fuck?
He exploded, covering her with his body as a stray spray of bullets shot over the top of the altar.
My brain might be soup, she hissed, though fear shone in her eyes.
If he could unleash his lightning, he might be able to fry their way out. No matter that everyone would know who'd been there, especially if Mordok picked up on the scents afterward. But he'd take that chance. For Bryce, he'd risk it. They could, of course, say that they had been fighting Ophion, but there was a chance that the Hind would decide this was the moment to reveal what she knew.
Hold on to me,
Hunt warned, reaching for Bryce as something crept out of the shadows behind Urd's throne. A black dog, massive, with fangs as long as Hunt's hand. The hellhound motioned to the throne with a clawed paw. Then he vanished behind it. There was no time to think. Hunt scooped up Bryce and ran, ducking low through the shadows between the altar and the dais, praying no one saw them in the chaos and smoke. He whipped behind the throne to find the space empty. No sign of Baxian. A growl came behind him, and Hunt whirled to the back of the throne. It wasn't solid stone at all, but an open doorway, leading into a narrow stairwell. Hunt didn't question their luck as he sprinted through the stone doorway. Baxian, now in angelic form, shoved it shut behind him, sealing them entirely in darkness. Baxian lit the tight steps downward with his phone. Hunt held on to Bryce. From the way she clung to him, he wasn't entirely certain she could walk.
I heard Pollux give the order to come here over the radio, Vaxian said, hurrying ahead, wings rustling. Hunt let the male lead, glancing behind them to ensure the door didn't open. But the seal was perfect, not so much as a crack of light shone.
Given how pissed Pippa was after Aedra, I figured it was you lot involved. I researched the history of this temple, found rumors about the door hidden in the throne. It's what took me some time, finding the tunnel entrance in. Some priestess must have used it recently, though. Her scent was all over the alley and fake wall that leads in here.
Hunt and Bryce said nothing. That was twice now that Vaxian had interfered to save them from the Hind and Pollux, and now Pippa.
Is Spetsos dead?
Vaxian asked, as they reached the bottom of the stairs and entered a long tunnel.
Don't know,
Hunt grunted.
She probably escaped and left her people to die. Lydia will be pissed she didn't catch her, but Pollux seemed to be enjoying himself,
Vaxian said, shaking his head. They walked until they hit a crossroads flanked by skulls and bones placed in tiny alcoves. Catacombs.
I don't think they had any clue you were there,
Vaxian went on,
though how they got tipped off.
Bryce moved, so fast Hunt didn't have time to stop her from dropping out of his arms, to stop her from unslinging her rifle and pointing it at Vaxian.
Stop right there.
Bryce whipped the blood dripping from her nose on her shoulder as she aimed the rifle at the hellhound, paused in the catacombs crossroads. Her head pounded relentlessly. Her mouth felt as dry as the Samathi desert, and her stomach was a churning eddy of bile. She was never teleporting again. Never, ever, ever.
Why the fuck do you keep popping up?
Bryce seethed, not taking her attention off the hellhound. Hunt didn't so much as move at her side. Hunt says you're not spying for the Hind or the Asteri, but I don't fucking believe it. Not for one second. She clicked off the safety. So tell me the god's damned truth before I put this bullet through your head. Vaxian walked to one of the curved walls full of skulls, didn't seem to care that he was a foot away from the barrel of her gun. He ran a finger down the brown skull of what seemed to be some fanged veneer and said,
Through love, all is possible.
The rifle nearly tumbled from her fingers.
What?
Vaxian peeled back the collar of his battle suit, revealing brown, muscled flesh, and a tattoo scrawled over the angel's heart in familiar handwriting. Through love, all is possible. She knew that handwriting.
Why?
She asked carefully, voice shaking.
Do you have Danica's handwriting tattooed on you?
Vaxian's dark eyes became pained, empty.
Because Danica was my mate.
Chapter 65. Bryce aimed the rifle at Vaxian again.
You are a fucking liar.
Vaxian left his collar open, Danica's handwriting inked there for all to see.
I loved her more than anything.
Hunt said harshly, words echoing in the dry catacombs around them.
This isn't fucking funny, asshole.
Vaxian turned pleading eyes to him. Bryce wanted to claw the male's face off.
She was my mate. Ask Sabine. Ask her why she ran the night she burst into your apartment. She always hated and feared me, because I saw how she treated her daughter and wouldn't put up with it. Because I've promised to turn her into carrion one day for what Danica endured. That's why Sabine left the party last night so fast. To avoid me.
Bryce didn't lower the gun.
You're full of shit.
Vaxian splayed his arms, wings rustling.
Why the fuck would I lie about this?
To win our trust,
Hunt said. Bryce couldn't get a breath down. It had nothing to do with the teleporting.
I would have known. If Danica had a mate, I would have known.
Oh? You think she would have told you that her mate was someone in Sandriel's Triari? The Hellhound. You think she'd have run home to dish about it?
Fuck you,
Bryce spat, focusing the scope right between his eyes. And fuck your lies. Vaxian walked up to the gun, to the barrel, pushed it down and against his heart, right up against the tattoo in Danica's handwriting.
I met her 2 years before she died,
he said quietly. She and Thorn, Baxian let out a laugh so bitter it cracked her soul.
Thorn was delusional to think she'd ever be with him.
She fucked around, Bryce seethed. You were no one to her.
I had 2 years with her,
Baxian said.
She didn't fuck anyone else during that time.
Bryce stilled, doing the mental tally. Right before her death, hadn't she teased Danica about
2 years,
she whispered.
She hadn't gone on a date in 2 years.
Hunt gaped at her now. But she racked her memory. Danica had hooked up constantly throughout college, but a few months into their senior year, and the year after, she'd partied but stopped the casual sex. Bryce choked out.
It's not possible.
Baxian's face was bleak, even in the dimness of the catacombs.
Believe me, I didn't want it either. But we saw each other, and knew.
Hunt murmured,
That's why your behavior changed. You met Danica right after I left. It changed everything for me,
Baxian said. How did you even meet each other? Bryce demanded.
There was a gathering of wolves, Pangerin and Valbaran. The Prime sent Danica as his emissary.
Bryce remembered that. How pissed Sabine had been that Danica had been tapped to go, and not her. 2 weeks later, Danica had come back, and she'd seemed subdued for a few days. She'd said it was exhaustion, but...
You're not a wolf. Why were you even there?
Danica couldn't have been with Baxian, couldn't have had a mate and not told her about it, not smelled like it. She was a bloodhound. With that preternatural sense of smell, she'd know better than anyone how to hide a scent, how to detect if any trace of it had remained on her.
I wasn't at the gathering. She sought me out while she was there.
Why?
Because she was researching shifter ancestry. Mine is unique.
You shift into a dog, Bryce raged. What's unique about that? Even Hunt gave her a disapproving frown. She didn't care. She was sick of these surprises about Danica, about all the things she'd never known.
She wanted to know about my shifter ancestry. Really old shifter ancestry that manifested in me after years of lying dormant. She was examining the most ancient bloodlines in our world, and saw a name on an early ancestor's family tree that could be traced all the way to the last living descendant, me. What the hell could you even tell her if it was that ancient? Hunt asked. Ultimately, nothing. But once we knew we were mates, once we'd sealed it, she started to open up about what she was looking into.
Was it about the synth? Bryce asked.
No. Baxian clenched his jaw. I think the synth was a cover for something else. Her death was because of the research she was doing.
Through love, all is possible. One last clue from Danica, to look where she'd stamped the phrase, right on this mail. So Bryce said,
Why did she care about any of this?
She wanted to know where we came from. The shifters, the Fae, all of us. She wanted to know what we'd once been, if it might inform our future.
Baxian's throat worked.
She was also... She told me she wanted to find an alternative to Sabine.
She was the alternative to Sabine, Bryce snapped.
She had a feeling she might not live long enough for that, Baxian said hoarsely. Danica didn't want to leave the wolves' future in Sabine's hands. She was seeking a way to protect them by uncovering a possible alternative in the bloodline to challenge Sabine.
It was so... So Danica.
But after we met, Baxian went on, she started hunting for a way into a world where we could be together, since there was no way Sabine or Sandriel, or even the Asteri, would have allowed it.
Bryce clicked the safety back on the gun and lowered it to the ground. Baxian said with quiet ferocity,
I was so fucking glad when you killed Micah. I knew. I had this feeling that prick was involved in her death.
Glad someone finally put a bullet through Micah's head,
Baxian had said when they'd first met. Bryce surveyed the male who'd loved her friend, the male she'd never known about. Why wouldn't she have told me?
She wanted to. We didn't dare talk on the phone or write to each other. We had a standing agreement to meet at a hotel in Forvos. I could never get away from Sandriel for long. On a given day every 2 months. She worried that the Asteri would use me against her to keep her in line, if they found out about us.
Did she tell you she loved you? Bryce pushed.
Yes,
Baxian replied without a moment of hesitation. Danica had once claimed she'd only said those words to Bryce. To her, not to this stranger. This male who'd freely and willingly served Sandriel. Hunt had been given no choice in that matter. She didn't care that you're a monster? Baxian flinched.
After I met Danica, I tried my best to counteract all I did for Sandriel, though sometimes all I could do was lessen Sandriel's evil.
Yet his eyes softened.
She loved you, Bryce. You were the most important person in the world to her. You were... Shut up. Just shut the fuck up,
Bryce whispered.
I don't want to hear it.
Don't you? He challenged. Don't you want to know all of it? Isn't that why you've been digging around? You want to know, need to know what Danica knew, what she was up to, what she kept secret.
Her face hardened into stone. She said flatly,
Fine. Let's start with this one if you knew her so well. How did Danica meet Sophie Renast? You ever hear that name in all your secret little conversations? What did Danica want from her? Baxian bristled.
Danica learned about Sophie's existence while investigating Thunderbird lineage as part of her research into shifters and our origins. She traced the bloodlines and then confirmed it by tracking her down and scenting her. Being Danica, she didn't let Sophie walk away without answering some questions.
Bryce stilled.
What kind of questions?
Hunt put a hand on her shoulder.
Baxian shook his head.
I don't know, and I don't know how they pivoted to working together on the Ophian stuff. But I think Danica had some theories about Thunderbirds beyond the lineage thing. About their power, in particular.
Bryce frowned.
Do you know why Sophie Renast might have felt the need to carve a series of numbers and letters on herself while she drowned a few weeks ago?
Solos,
Baxian murmured. And then he recited the sequence from Sophie's body, down to the last numeral.
Was that it? What the fuck are you playing at, Baxian?
Hunt growled, but Bryce snapped at the same time. What is it? Baxian's eyes flashed.
It's a system of numbering rooms used in only one place on Midgard. The Asteri Archives.
Hunt swore.
And how in Erd's name do you know that? Because I gave it to Danica.
Bryce was surprised enough that words failed her.
Sandriel was the Asteri's pet.
Baxian turned to Hunt.
You know that, Athalar. She made me serve as escort on one of her visits to their palace. When they brought her down to the archives for a meeting, I saw them go through that door. When Sandriel emerged, she was pale. It was odd enough that I memorized the series of numbers and letters and passed it to Danica later as something to look into. Danica became obsessed with it. She wouldn't tell me why or what she thought might be in there, but she had theories, ones that she said would alter this very world. But she couldn't go in herself. She was too recognizable. She knew the Asteri were already watching her.
So, after she met Sophie, Danica gave her the information and had Sophie sneak in to investigate,
Bryce murmured, since Sophie's record wouldn't have shown anything suspicious about her. Baxian nodded.
From what I gleaned from the Hinds reports, it took Sophie 3 years of work to get in, 3 years of spying and going undercover as one of the archivists. I'm assuming she finally found a way to sneak into that room and ran to Kavala soon after. By that time, Danica was gone. She died without ever learning what was in the room.
But Sophie did,
Bryce said quietly.
Whatever she learned was in that room,
Hunt agreed. That must have been the intel Sophie planned to use as leverage against Ophion, and against the Asteri.
Something war-changing, Bryce said. Something big.
Why wouldn't this room identifier come up on search engines? Hunt asked Baxian. The Hellhound tucked in his wings. The Asteri don't have any of their palace blueprints on the interweb. Even their library cataloging system is secret. Anything digitized is highly encrypted.
And if we had someone who could hack into anything? Bryce asked.
Baxian again smiled bitterly. Then I guess you'd have a chance at finding out what was in that room.
This is a totally nonsensical way of numbering rooms, Declan muttered, typing away on the sectional couch in Rune's house. Bryce had run there with Hunt after leaving Baxian in the alley the tunnel had led to, a few blocks from Erd's temple. She was still reeling. She turned on her phone to find several missed calls from Therian. The Viper Queen had given him a heads up about Ophion, only a few minutes too late. Flynn had nearly thrown a fit when Rune had explained what had happened. At least no word had emerged about their connection to the rebel attack on Erd's temple, as the news was calling it. Pollux, Mordok, and the Hind were hailed as heroes for stopping Pippa's forces from desecrating the sacred space. The only failure? Pippa had escaped. Bryce would deal with that later. Would deal with a lot of other shit later. Declan scratched his head.
You realize that what we're doing right now amounts to treason.
We owe you big time, Hunt said, sitting on the arm of the sofa.
Pay me in booze, Declan said. It'll be a comfort while I worry about when the Dreadwolves will show up at my door.
Here, Rune said, handing the male a glass of whiskey.
This'll start you off.
Her brother dropped onto the cushions beside her. Across the couch, Hypaxia sat next to Ethan, quiet and watchful. Bryce had let Hunt explain what they'd learned from Baxian, and let Rune explain the whole truth to the Witch Queen and the Sprites, who had draped themselves around Flynn's shoulders where he sat on Declan's other side. But it was to Ethan that Bryce's attention kept returning. And as Declan focused, Bryce said quietly to the wolf,
Did you know about Danica and Baxian?
His face had revealed nothing.
Of course not, Ethan said. I thought she and Thorn...
He shook his head.
I have no idea what to make of it.
I never once scented anything on her. Me neither. Maybe she was able to hide it with her bloodhound gift somehow. She cleared her throat. It wouldn't have mattered to me.
Really? It would have mattered to me. Ethan countered, to everyone. Not only is Baxian not a wolf, he's...
An asshole, Hunt supplied without looking up from his phone.
Yeah, Ethan said. I mean, I get that he just saved your hides, but still.
Does it matter now? Flynn asked. I mean, no offense, but Danica's gone.
Bryce gave him a flat look.
Really? I had no idea.
Flynn flipped her off, and the sprites oohed at his shoulder. Bryce rolled her eyes, exactly what Flynn needed, his own flock of cheerleaders trailing him at all hours. She said to Flynn,
Hey, remember that time you set a dragon free and were dumb enough to think she'd follow your orders?
Hey, remember that time you wanted to marry me and wrote Lady Bryce Flynn in all your notebooks?
Hunt choked.
Bryce countered with, Hey, remember when you pestered me for years to hook up with you, but I have something called standards? This is highly unusual behavior for royals,
Hypaxia observed.
You have no idea, Rune muttered, earning a smile from the queen.
Noting the way her brother's face lit up, then dimmed. Did he know? About Hypaxia and Celestina. She had no idea what else might dampen his expression.
Where's Therian?
Hunt asked, surveying the house.
Shouldn't he be here?
He's upstairs, Rune said.
They could fill Therian in later, she supposed. And Cormac, once he'd finished with whatever his father wanted.
Declan suddenly cursed, frowning. Then he said,
There's good news and bad news.
Bad news first, Bryce said.
There's no way in hell I can ever hack into this archival system. It's ironclad. I've never seen anything like it. It's gorgeous, actually.
All right, tone down the fanboying, Rune grumbled. What's the good news?
Their camera system in the Eternal Palace is not ironclad.
So what the fuck does that get us?
Hunt asked. At the very least, I can confirm whether Sophie Renast ever gained access to that room.
And where that room might be, Bryce murmured.
Ethan and Hypaxia both nodded.
All right, do it.
Settle in, Declan warned. We're in for a long night.
Ethan was dispatched to get Therian after an hour, and Bryce was rewarded with the sight of a sleep-tousled mare entering the living room, wearing nothing but his jeans. Therian plopped onto the couch beside Hypaxia, slinging his arm around the queen's shoulders and saying, "Hi, Pax." Hypaxia waved off the mare.
"Sleeping all afternoon."
"Life of a playboy," Therian said. Apparently, they'd become fast friends during the summit.
Bryce might have wondered if there was more between them, had she not found the witch with the archangel the night before. She wondered if Therian knew. Wondered if it rankled her brother that the witch and the mare had stayed in touch since the summit, and he'd had only silence from her. Rune didn't so much as frown. Around midnight, Declan said,
"Well, holy shit.
There she is."
Hunt nearly trampled Rune as they hurried over. Bryce, of course, made it to Declan's side first and swore. Hunt shoved Rune out of the way with an elbow and claimed the seat next to his mate. Ethan, Therian, Hypaxia, and Flynn, sprites in tow, pressed in around them.
"She looks so young,"
Hunt murmured.
"She was," Rune said.
Deck had pulled up the photo from Sophie's old university ID and had the program search for any faces that resembled hers in the footage. Bryce had tried to call Cormac, but the prince hadn't answered his phone. So they kept silent as Declan played the footage of the wood and marble subterranean library. From the camera mounted on the ceiling, they could see Sophie Renast, clad in some sort of white uniform that could only belong to one of the archivists, stalk by the ancient shelves.
"Door 7 Eta.3 Alpha Omega, Declan said, pointing to a wooden door beyond the shelf. "You can make out the writing faintly beside it."
They could. Sophie slipped inside the room, using some sort of ID card to bypass the modern lock, then shut the carved door behind her.
15 minutes pass, Declan said, zooming ahead, and then she's out again.
Sophie walked from the room the same way she had entered it, calmly.
"She doesn't have anything on her," Hunt observed.
"I can't make out anything under her clothes, either," Rune agreed. "Neither did the computer," Declan said. "She carried nothing in, nothing out. But her face is white as death."
Just as Baxian claimed Sandriel's had been. "When is this dated?" Bryce asked. Hunt squeezed her knee like he needed to touch her, remind himself she was here and safe with him.
2 months ago, Declan said. Right before she went into Kavala.
It took 3 years of working undercover to get access to this room?
Rune asked.
Do you know how intense the security is?
Hunt asked.
I can't believe she made it in at all.
I know. It's fucking intense, Athalar,
Rune said tightly. Bryce said, well, we're going to have to beat her time. They all faced her. Bryce's attention remained fixed on the screen, though. On the young woman walking out of the ancient library. Hunt's stomach twisted. He had a feeling he knew what she was going to say even before Bryce declared, "We need to get to the Eternal City and into those archives."
"Bryce,"
Hunt started, dread rushing through him. He might have made peace with their involvement with Cormac and Ophion, but this was on a whole new level. Perilously close to what he'd done leading the Fallen.
"I want to know what Sophie knew," Bryce said through her teeth. "What Danica was willing to risk so much to discover."
After the truth Baxian had dropped, she needed the full story more than ever. It didn't only have to do with wanting to use the intel as leverage against the Asteri. Danica had thought this information could change the world. Save it, somehow.
How could she walk away from it now?
You're talking about breaking into the most secure place on Midgard? Therian interjected carefully. Breaking into an enemy's stronghold.
If Sophie Renast did it, I can too.
Rune coughed. You realize none of us know our way around the palace, Bryce?
We'll be operating blind.
Hunt tensed beside her, and Bryce knew that particular sort of tautness on his face, knew he was shutting out his vivid memories of the throne room, the dungeons, blood and screaming and pain. That's all he recalled, he'd told her. She leaned into his side, offered what love she could through the touch.
We won't be operating blind, Bryce said to Rune, lifting her chin. I know someone who's intimately familiar with its layout.
Ethan sat on the couch long after Bryce and Athalar had gone home, and Rune, Deck, and Flynn had left for their ox duties. The sprites had opted to follow Flynn, leaving Ethan and Therian alone in the house.
You ready for the shit show we're about to enter?
The mayor asked him, forearms on his knees as he leaned forward to play the video game on the big screen.
I don't really have a choice but to be ready, right?
Ethan, playing on the split screen beside him, jammed his thumbs onto the controller buttons.
You're probably used to high-stakes situations. You went to finals a couple times.
Twice, and three times in high school.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I watched you.
Therian flicked the switch on the controller, seemingly content to focus on the game, like he wasn't a male who'd walked in and out of the Viper Queen's lair today.
You seem remarkably calm about everything that's been going down. Flynn said it doesn't make a difference if Danica was Baxian's mate, since she's, you know, dead.
His chest ached.
I guess he's right.
I meant about the rebels and the Underking, but that's good to know. Ethan shrugged.
After this spring? What the fuck is normal anyway?
True. They played for a few more minutes.
What's the deal with you and the River Queen's daughter?
Ethan asked finally. Therian didn't take his eyes off the screen.
I've been betrothed to her for years. End of story.
You love her?
Nope.
Why get engaged to her then?
Because I was horny and stupid and wanted to fuck her so badly that I swore myself to her, thinking I could undo it in the morning. Turns out, I couldn't.
Rough, dude.
Yep.
Therian paused the game.
You seeing anyone?
Ethan had no idea why, but the wolf in the astronomer's tank emerged before him, but he said carefully,
Rune didn't tell you about, my past?
You mean about you having a thing for Bryce?
No.
Then how the fuck do you know?
She's Bryce. Everyone has got a thing for her.
I used to like her.
Uh-huh.
Ethan exposed his teeth.
I don't feel that way about her anymore.
Good, because Athalar would probably kill you, then barbecue your corpse.
He could try.
He'd try, and he'd win, and I doubt slow-roasted wolf would taste that good, even doused in sauce.
Whatever,
Therian chuckled.
Don't do anything tragically romantic to prove yourself to her, okay? I've seen that shit go down before, and it never works.
Definitely not if you're dead.
Not on my agenda, but thanks.
Therian's expression turned serious.
I mean it.
And?
Look, I bet Bryce will kick my balls into my throat for this, but if you have any unresolved business with anyone, I'd get it done before we go to the Eternal City, just in case.
In case they didn't come back, which seemed likely. Ethan sighed, set down his controller, got up from the couch. Therian arched a brow. Ethan said,
There's something I have to do.
Chapter 66.
You have to be 10 kinds of stupid,
Fury hissed at Bryce, from where they sat at the dive bar's counter, nursing their drinks. Fury had initially refused to meet up when Bryce had called her last night, but Bryce had pestered her enough throughout the following morning that she'd agreed to meet here. Bryce had barely been able to sleep, though Hunt had done a good job exhausting her. Her mind couldn't stop turning over the things she'd learned. Danica had a mate. Sabine had known about it. Danica's mate still loved her. And Danica had never told Bryce about any of it.
I know it's insane,
Bryce murmured, swirling her whiskey and ginger beer. But any help you can give me?
You need a shit ton of help, but not with this. You're out of your mind.
Fury leaned closer, getting in Bryce's face.
Do you know what they'll do to you if you're caught? What they might do to your family, to Juniper, to punish you? Did you see what the Harpy did to those rebels? Do you know what Mordok likes to do to his victims? I make sure to stay well out of his path. These people are soulless. The Asteri will gladly let them go to work on you and everyone you love.
I know, Bryce said carefully. So help me make sure I don't get caught.
You're assuming I just have blueprints of the Crystal Palace lying around.
I know you've been there. You have a better memory than anyone I know. You mean to tell me you didn't take mental notes while you were there? That you didn't notice the exits, the guards, the security systems?
Yeah, but you're talking about the archives. I can only give you a vague layout. I've only ever walked the halls, never gone into the rooms.
So, don't you want to know what's in those rooms? What Danica suspected might be inside that one room in particular? Fury swigged from her vodka on the rocks.
Don't try to convert me to your bullshit cause. I've done work for both sides, and neither is worth the time of day. They're certainly not worth your life.
We're not working for either side.
Then what side are you working for?
Truth, Bryce said simply. We want the truth. Fury studied her, and Bryce withstood the searing assessment.
You've definitely lost your mind, then. I'm going to take June out of this city for a while. Lie low.
Good. Bryce wished she could warn her parents without raising suspicions. She tapped her foot on the bronze footrest beneath the bar. Can you take Syrinx with you? She wouldn't leave without knowing he'd be cared for.
Yeah.
Fury sighed and signaled the bartender for another vodka.
I'll get you what intel I can.
Therian found his fiancée sitting on the edge of the quay off the bone quarter, her delicate feet dipping into the turquoise water, sending waves splashing in the sunlight. Her black hair was unbound, cascading down her slim back in a luxurious fall. Once, that beauty had staggered him, snagged him. Now it merely weighed.
Thank you for meeting me.
He'd sent the otter an hour ago. She twisted, looking back at him, a pretty smile lighting her face. Therian swallowed hard. She'd been so starry-eyed at the party the other night, so elated to be there, dancing and laughing. A decade. A decade wasted for him and for her. He'd advised Holstrom to settle any unfinished business. He needed to do the same. Therian paced a step, keenly aware of the Sobeks lurking in the river, appraising them with slitted eyes. The mare guards positioned near the dock, spears within throwing range, ready to impale him.
I wanted to talk to you.
Her look turned wary. He could have sworn the Sobeks drifted closer. Tourists spotted them and began snapping photos along the quay, saw the River Queen's daughter and began snapping photos of the beauty, too. This was an awfully public place for this kind of meeting, but he knew if he did this at the Blue Court, if her mother got word of it before he could leave, she'd keep him beneath, as trapped as any of the mortals who'd once been dragged below by the mayor.
You wish to call off our betrothal,
she said. Thunderclouds threatened in her eyes. Instinct had him fumbling for soothing lies to comfort her, but if he was going to die, either at the Asteri's or her mother's hand, he wanted to do it knowing he'd been honest.
Yes.
You think I did not know? All this time, a male who wanted to marry me would have acted by now.
her nose crinkled in anger.
How many years did I spend trying to coax some affection, some intimacy from you, something to heal this?
He refrained from saying that she'd also been vindictive and childish and sullen. The water at her feet thrashed.
Yet it was always, I'm busy working on a case. Then it was the next case, and then the next. Then your wave skimmer would break, then your mother would need you, then your friends would require you.
Power stirred around her.
You believe it is not obvious to all of the Blue Court that you don't want to come back home?
His breathing stalled. He'd vastly underestimated her. He dared ask. Why didn't you call it off, if you knew all that then?
Because I harbored a shred of hope you might change. Like a fool, I prayed to Ogenis every day that you might come to me of your own free will. But that hope has withered now.
She stood, somehow towering over him even though she was more than a foot shorter. Her words were a chill wind skittering over the water.
You want to stay here, amid this filth and noise?
He scrambled for the words. I do. But she slowly shook her head.
My mother warned me of this, of you. You do not have a true heart. You never did.
Good. At least she finally knew the truth. But he said as gently as he could, I have to leave the city for a while. But let's talk about this more when I'm back. I feel like there's a lot of air to clear here.
No more talking.
She retreated a step to the edge of the quay, bristling with power. Waves crashed against the stones, spraying her feet.
Come beneath with me.
I can't. He wouldn't. Her teeth flashed, more shark than humanoid.
Then we'll see what my mother has to say about this,
she hissed, and leapt into the river. Therian debated jumping in after her, but why? His palms slickened with sweat. He had 30 minutes, he supposed. 30 minutes until he was hauled beneath by his fin, and he'd never, ever leave again. Therian dragged his hands through his hair, panting. He peered westward toward the low-lying buildings beyond the CBD. Celestina would never interfere, and Bryce and Rune didn't have the authority. And there was no chance in hell that Commander Sendez and the depth charger would get here in 30 minutes. Only one person in Crescent City might stand up to the River Queen and survive. One person even the River Queen might balk at crossing. One person who valued powerful fighters and would hide them from their enemies. And one person he could reach in 30 minutes. Therian didn't think twice before he began running. Thanks again for getting me in here, Ethan said to Hypaxia, who sat in the waiting room of the Prime's study at the den. It was weird to have needed to ask a veritable stranger to get him safely into his own home, but this was the only way. The Witch Queen offered him a soft smile.
It's what friends do, isn't it?
He bowed his head.
I'm honored to be called your friend.
He'd been proud to walk through the gates moments before at the sight of this strong, kind female, no matter that the wolves on duty had sneered as he'd passed. A reedy voice grunted his name, and Ethan rose from the leather chair, offering Hypaxia a smile.
I'll be quick.
She waved him off, and Ethan braced himself as he entered the old wolf's formal study. Wood-paneled walls crammed with bookshelves gleamed in the midday light. The Prime sat at his desk, hunched over what seemed to be a stack of paperwork. Sabine stood above him, monitoring every shaking stroke of his hand. Ethan stiffened. Sabine's teeth gleamed. Yet the old wolf lifted his head.
It is good to see you, boy.
Thank you for meeting with me.
Sabine knew that Danica had been sworn to a mate, that Baxian was in this city. Ethan shoved the thought away.
I know you're busy, so...
Out with it,
Sabine snarled. Ethan let her see the wolf in him, the dominance he didn't shove down like he always had. But the Prime said,
Go ahead, Ethan.
Ethan squared his shoulders, tucking his hands beneath his back. the same pose he'd taken when getting instructions from Coach. To hell with it, then.
One of the astronomer's mystics is a wolf. An alpha wolf.
The words were met with silence, but Sabine's eyes narrowed.
She's from Nenya, sold so young she doesn't know her name or her age. I'm not even sure if she knows she's an alpha. But she's a wolf, and she's no better than a slave in that tank. We can't leave her there.
What business is it of ours? Sabine demanded.
She's a wolf, Ethan repeated. That should be all we need to help her.
There are plenty of wolves, and plenty of alphas. They are not all our responsibility.
Sabine exposed her teeth again.
Is this part of some scheme you and that half-breed whore are concocting?
She sneered as she said it, but Sabine had come to Bryce's apartment that night to warn her to stay out of wolf business. Out of some fear, however unfounded, that Bryce would somehow back Ethan, as if Sabine herself could be at risk of being overthrown. Ethan tucked that aside. Tossing out wild accusations wouldn't help his cause right now. So he said carefully,
I just want to help the mystic.
Is this what you've dedicated your time to now, Holstrom? Charity cases?
Ethan swallowed his retort.
Danica would have done something.
Danica was an idealistic fool, Sabine spat. Don't waste our time with this.
Ethan looked to the prime, but the old wolf said nothing, did nothing. Ethan turned to the door again and strode out. Hypaxia rose to her feet as he appeared.
Done so soon?
Yeah, I guess.
He'd told someone about the mystic. He supposed, well, now he supposed he could go to Pangera with few regrets. Sabine strutted out of the study. She growled low in her throat at Ethan, but faltered upon seeing Hypaxia. Hypaxia held the wolf's stare with steely calm. Sabine only snorted and stalked away, slamming the hall door behind her.
Let's go, Ethan said to Hypaxia.
But the door to the study opened again, and the prime stood there, a hand on the jamb to support himself.
The mystic,
the prime said, panting slightly, as if the walk from his desk to the door had winded him.
What did she look like?
Brown hair? Medium brown, I think. Pale skin?
A common enough description.
And her scent? Was it like snow and embers?
Ethan stilled. The ground seemed to sway.
How do you know that?
The old wolf bowed his silvery head.
Because Sabine is not the only Fendir heir.
Ethan rocked back on his heels at that. Was that why Sabine had come to the apartment that night to warn off Bryce? Not to keep Ethan from becoming the prime apparent, but to scare Bryce away before she could discover there was a true alternative to Sabine, a legitimate one, because Bryce would stop at nothing to find that other heir, and Sabine would kill them to prevent it.
Chapter 67.
Therion burst into the Viper Queen's nest. He only had minutes until all hell broke loose. Ariadne was sprawled on her belly on the carpet, a book splayed open before her, bare feet bobbing above her ample backside, the sort of ample backside that on any other day he'd truly appreciate. The dragon didn't remove her focus from her book as she said,
"She's in the back."
Therion ran for the rear room. The Viper Queen lounged on a couch before the window, overlooking the fighting pit where the current match was unfolding, reading something on her electronic tablet.
Mare,
she said by way of greeting.
I want to be one of your prize fighters.
She slowly turned her head toward him.
I don't take freelancers.
Then buy me.
You're not a slave, Mare.
I'll sell myself to you.
The words sounded as insane as they felt, but he had no other options. His alternative was another form of slavery. At least here, he'd be away from that stifling court. The Viper Queen set down her tablet.
A civitas, selling himself into slavery. Such a thing is not done.
Your law unto yourself. You can do it.
Your queen will flood my district for spite.
She isn't dumb enough to fuck with you.
I take it that's why you're rushing into my care.
Therian checked his phone. 10 minutes left at most.
It's either be trapped in a palace down there or trapped up here. I choose here, where I won't be required to breed some royal offspring.
You are becoming a slave, to be free of the River Queen.
Even the Vipe looked like she was wondering if he'd gone mad.
Is there any other way? Because I'm out of ideas.
The Viper Queen angled her head, Bob shifting with the movement.
A good business person would tell you no, and accept this absurd offer.
Her purple lips parted in a smile.
But...
her gaze swept across the room, to the Fey males standing guard by an unmarked door. He had no idea what lay beyond, possibly her bedchamber. Why it needed to be guarded when she wasn't inside was beyond him.
They defected from the Autumn King. Swore allegiance to me. They've proved loyal.
So I'll do it. I hereby defect. Give me some way to immerse myself in water once a day, and I'm set.
She chuckled.
You think you're the first mare fighter I've had? There is a tub a few levels down, with water piped in right from the Istros. It's yours. But defecting, that is not as easy as simply saying the words.
She stood, rolling back the sleeve of her black jumpsuit to expose her wrist. A tattoo of a snake twining around a crescent moon lay there. She lifted her wrist to her mouth and bit, and blood, darker than usual, welled where her teeth had been.
Drink.
The floor began rumbling, and Therian knew it wasn't from the fight, knew something ancient and primordial was coming for him to drag him back to the watery depths. He grabbed her wrist and brought it to his mouth. If he defected from the River Queen, then he could defect from the Viper Queen one day. Couldn't he? He didn't ask, didn't doubt it as he laid his lips on her wrist and her blood filled his mouth. Burned his mouth, his throat. Therian staggered back, choking, grabbing at his neck. Her blood, her venom dissolved in his throat, his chest, his heart. Cold, piercing, and eternal erupted through him. Therian crashed to his knees. The rumbling halted, then retreated. Like whatever it had been hunting for had vanished. Therian panted, bracing for the icy death that awaited him. But nothing happened, only that vague sense of cold, of calm. He slowly lifted his eyes to the Viper Queen. She smiled down at him.
Seems like that did the trick.
He struggled to his feet, swaying. He rubbed at the hollow, strange place in his chest.
Your first fight is tonight,
she said, still smiling.
I suggest you rest.
I need to help my friends finish something first.
Her brows rose.
Ah, this business with Ophion.
Of a sort. I need to be able to help them.
You should have bargained for that freedom before swearing yourself to me.
Allow me this, and I'll come back and fight for you until I'm chum.
She laughed softly.
Fine, Therian Kettos. Help your friends. But when you are done...
Her eyes glowed green, and his body turned distant. Her will was his, her desires his own. He'd crawl through coals to fulfill her orders.
You return to me.
I return to you.
He spoke in a voice that was and wasn't his own. Some small part of him screamed. The Viper Queen flicked a hand toward the archway.
Go.
Not entirely of his own volition, he stalked back down the hallway. Each step away from her had that distance lessening, his thoughts again becoming his own, even as Ariadne peered up from her book as he stalked past.
Are you mad?
Therian retorted.
I could ask the same of you.
Her face tightened, but she returned to her book. With each step toward his friends, he could have sworn a long, invisible chain stretched, like an endless leash, tethering him, no matter where he went, no matter how far, back to this place. Never to return to the life he'd traded away. Ethan sat on a park bench in Moonwood, a few blocks from the den, still reeling from the world-shattering revelation the Prime had dropped on him. The wolf mystic was a Fendir, an alpha Fendir. Ethan hadn't been able to get any more than that out of the Prime before the male's gaze had gone murky, and he'd needed to sit down again. Hypaxia had worked some healing magic to ease whatever pains ailed him, and he'd been asleep at his desk a moment later. Ethan breathed in the fall day.
I think I've put her in grave danger.
Hypaxia straightened.
In what way?
I think Sabine knows, or has already guessed.
Another alpha in the heritage bloodline could destroy the wolves.
But how the fuck had she wound up in that tank? And in Nenya?
Sabine will kill her. Even if Sabine thinks she might be a Fendir alpha, if there have been rumors about it before now, Sabine will destroy any threat to her power.
So the mystic isn't some sister? Or long-lost daughter?
I don't think so.
Sabine had an elder brother, but she defeated him in open combat decades before I was born, took his title as Prime Apparent, and became Alpha. I thought he died, but maybe he was exiled.
I have no idea.
Hypaxia's face turned grave.
So what can be done?
He swallowed.
I don't like going back on my promises.
But you wish to leave my side to look into this?
Yes, and
he shook his head.
I can't go to Pangera with the others. If there's a Fendir heir who isn't Sabine,
it might mean that the future Danica had hoped for could come to pass. If he could find some way to keep the mystic alive and get her free of the astronomer's tank.
I need to stay here,
he said finally,
to guard her.
He didn't care if he had to camp on the street outside of the astronomer's place. Wolves didn't abandon each other. Granted, friends didn't abandon each other either. But he knew Bryce and the others would get it.
I need to find the truth, Ethan said.
Not just